Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
So yesterday, I learned about something that exists that every woman should know and no man should know about.
But here you are. You're going to tell me.
Well, I went back and forth on whether I should reveal it because you're not supposed to talk about it.
Okay.
It's like a Fight Club thing where it's a secret organization.
Okay.
And it's on Facebook. I got up this morning and I had been invited to join this Facebook group. And I was like, oh, that's weird. And like, I honestly don't spend that much time on Facebook, but I clicked on it because the title, which I'm not going to say out loud, intrigued me. I went to the page and somebody we both know well was on the page posting.
Really?
And I looked at it, so I knew it was legit because she was there. I was blown away. And I didn't know this existed. And I don't know if enough women know this exists.
So, I mean,
single women.
So if you're not going to tell me the name of it and you're not going to tell me
who
is
posting, I'll tell you what it
does. Tell me what it does, please.
So people snap pictures that they're of guys that they're talking to on these dating apps, mm-hmm. and they ask to spill the tea. So they want to know if they've dated them.
Okay.
They want to know if they're currently dating them.
Yeah.
And it's pretty focused by location. So there's a lot of these that exist.
So it's like a network share of information here and almost like a lie detector. I mean, I would imagine there's quite a bit of deception that goes on if you're talking about somebody you're out on a date with from a dating site.
So you post the picture.
Yeah.
And then other women can tell you if they went out with him, what he did. If he's a terrible person, if he's a good person, is it a catfishing site?
Is this the same place he takes everybody? That type of thing.
Yes. And I found it to be fascinating because she found out a guy that she was dating was also dating somebody else because of this.
Wow.
So I thought, oh my gosh, what an incredible, valuable thing for women to have.
Right.
Because it's so scary, honestly, for a woman to meet somebody online on these dating apps, and then you don't know anything about them. You're showing up and you're keeping your fingers crossed that they're going to show up and they're going to be a good person. And if you could see the amount of pictures and people that are posted on there and the comments about he has a weird foot fetish. Like people are spilling the tea on these people. And I just thought, well done.
Mm.
And they purposely make it that it's difficult to get in there. You have to be invited in.
You're right. And like a secret society.
It's a secret society. And you have to be approved. You have to go through like a rigorous process. Now, for some reason that I don't understand, I don't know who invited me. I didn't recognize the name of the person that invited me. It must have been a listener that thought I should know about it.
Mm.
So thank you to whoever that was. Because I was like, oh my gosh, more women should know that this exists.
Yeah, the mystery of it has me completely intrigued just for people watching. But, you know, I understand that it would be for the ladies. Well, you know what? Good for you. You found a safe space.
And there was a guy picture there of a guy I know. And a guy that like, you know.
No, now you have to tell me something.
No. And all the reviews were bad. About him, about dating him. I don't know him.
Do I know this person?
Yes.
Whoa!
I'm never going to reveal it. I've been sworn to secrecy by the girl code.
No!
Yeah.
I have so many guesses already.
Women, start Googling around for this and see, because this is a good Facebook thing to belong to.
Man.
Goosebaba. It's Wellness Wednesday.
Don't freak out.
With Anna and Raven.
Ever wonder why you crash between 2 and 4 p.m. in the afternoon? You're not alone.
I figured it was just because I was getting no sleep whatsoever.
Ah, well, not really. Not at all. So what is the afternoon slump?
The symptoms of the afternoon slump are things we're all too familiar with. And they include the crashing of energy between 1 and 3 p.m., frequent yawning, drowsiness, and overall fatigue, increased feeling of stress, lack of motivation, inability to remain focused, and food cravings.
Mm. So this guy says it's between 1 and 3, but ultimately when you look online and you do a lot of research, it's really between like 1 and 4 p.m. is when somebody will start getting the symptoms.
I think that, a lot of it, I'm not sure if it's just the world, right? Or it's the time that most people get up and go to work, right? Because I feel like I have one or two slumps throughout the day.
Yeah. So why does it happen? Like the scientific reason?
Yeah.
Our circadian rhythms can dictate our energy levels throughout the day, and the body tends to feel most tired between 2 and 4 a.m. and then 1 and 3 p.m.
So there's actually a scientific reason why your body's like whatever's happening with your hormones and everything gets out of whack at those times, and that's why you're so tired.
Okay.
So how do you prevent it? Because if you're like me, what do? You reach for the 27th cup of coffee? Yep, nope, not really. You're not supposed to do that because eventually you'll crash from it. So what do you do?
Avoiding large lunches. I've found that the larger the lunch I have, the more tired I'll feel in the remainder of my day.
There's this thing called the 80% rule for a lunch where you're only supposed to eat till you're 80% full and then you'll have more energy. Of course, I don't actually know when that 80% is.
Right.
How do you know that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, there's always a time when you're like, that's probably enough, but this tastes good, so you have a couple more.
Yeah.
So I'd say it's at least at that point. It's probably even a little bit before that.
Take walks outside after lunch and late afternoon.
Here at the office, they have an afternoon lunch walking club. I see them walking all the time, and I always think, well, that's nice.
Do you see how big the group has gotten?
There's like 100 of them that go walking every day.
I just drive by them on my way when I'm leaving.
I wave. Yeah.
I do. I do that quick beep thing. Deep.
That's probably why they're so awake and we're going home to nap.
When you schedule your day, plan collaborative group work in the afternoons. Working with others will keep your mind engaged and prevent you from falling into a lull.
I guess that makes sense. I also liked for the afternoon slump, I picked the most boring guy on the internet to explain to us what to do that we can barely stay awake listening, right? He also says this.
Play energetic music. Whenever you start dozing off, throw some headphones on and play some music to help change your state of mind.
I think everybody does that. If you're driving and you're tired, you put the music on. But Raven, I read that if you stick your head in the freezer, that it's supposed to give you that mid-afternoon slump, like get out of it really fast. Like it's a quick fix, like a cup of coffee almost like it.
Yeah, cold temperatures, I think, will have that effect. You know, I do that when I get out of a hot shower, too. Right before I get out, I put the water on cold because it kind of wakes you back up.
Yeah, so last night I tried it. I stuck my head in the freezer.
Oh, good.
This is what happened.
A hack to get rid of the mid-afternoon slump, it's about 3 o'clock in the afternoon, is to put your head in the freezer. So let's see, because I'm about to fall asleep.
Peas in there? Corn?
How long do you think we should keep our head in here for? The instructions didn't say anything about that. I'm definitely more alert. I'm also cold. I don't know if that worked. Guys, do I look more alert?
No.
Well, that's science for you.
Yeah, exactly. That worked. I mean, it definitely like gave you a jolt, but the minute I warmed up and closed the freezer, then I kind of went back to being tired. So I don't know. I think I'll stick with my coffee.
Yeah, now you got a creak in your neck, too, from bending over like
that. Yeah, anything besides having to go for a walk, right?
That's all I need to know about you.
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 Get it off your chest. What is driving you nuts right now? 1-800-330-9999. You fill in the blank. If you blank, that's all I need to know about you.
Nikki, what do you got?
If you're on an airplane and you take up one of the armrests so that you don't let the middle seat get both armrests, that's all I need to know about you.
Yeah, I've heard this, that the middle seat is entitled to both armrests. I've heard people say that and make that argument before.
It's a real thing.
Yeah, I mean,
100%.
The problem is that, you know, the seats are just too thin anyways for a regular sized person. So, you know, inevitably, if the arm doesn't go on the armrest from the person that's on the window or on the aisle, guess what? It's going in the middle seat's lap. It's going on top of that person. It's got to go somewhere.
That's your concession because you have the worst seat on the plane, so you get both armrests. Everybody knows that.
But it's, again, so what does that mean? The other person is just leaning with force against the wall?
Yes.
I don't know. It's just not realistic.
As a matter of fact, that's exactly what it means.
Yeah, thanks for the call. Have a great flight.
Awesome.
Mike, that's all I need to know about you.
Yeah, if you take sports way too seriously, that's all I need to know about you.
What is the definition of too seriously? Like your friend that gets angry or the one that cries because their team lost or they don't come out of their house for a week or whatever?
Yeah, you're like, you're throwing stuff, you're crying, you're, you know, not able to talk to people, you know, you're wet in the bed. Yeah.
Wow.
That's a problem.
I mean, all but that last one. I know somebody like that. And I've never understood that. Like, yeah, it's life, man. There's going to be ups and downs, and your team winning or losing, I get it. It can be disappointing or exciting, but I mean, it's kind of like it's not in your control.
Well, you know what I always say?
Oh, here we go. Here, this is my favorite.
Are they paying your mortgage?
Mm.
Like when my husband gets so upset if the Giants are having a bad game or a bad season or whatever, which has happened a lot lately, right? I always remind him, it's so funny because I didn't get the check from the Giants to pay our mortgage this month. That's so funny.
Right. Yeah. You can tell how much Anna loves sports because the Giants were the best that they had been in a long time last
I know,
year.
But they didn't make it as far as we had hoped, and it was
as
very
far
exciting.
As Paul would have hoped, your husband.
But guess what? Still didn't pay our mortgage. No.
Kim, that's all I need to know about you.
If you stay at someone's house and you leave it a mess, that's all I need to know about you.
Like, are we talking like a friend passed out on your couch one night, or what are we talking about here?
My sister just came to stay with me, and she didn't pick up after herself one bit. Left my house, a complete disaster. Not okay.
Yeah.
How many days?
About 3.
Oh, well, I mean, that's something then, right?
3 days.
Towel on the floor in the bathroom.
It's weird if you go to somebody's house and you leave it a mess. But your sister, not that it's okay, but I think if anybody gets a pass, it's one of your siblings.
Well, it's not like you can get rid of her.
Right.
So there's that, right? You can hold on to that resentment if you want all week long, but it's not going to do anything for you. And it's probably not going to change her behavior either. You can just hope to stay at her place one day and do the same.
You know, it's funny, when somebody comes to your home, right, and they're staying overnight, how long is too long if they stay? Mm. We just got this call.
If you stay at someone's house and you leave it a mess, that's all I need to know about you. My sister just came to stay with me, and she didn't pick up after herself one bit.
Yeah.
How many days?
About 3.
So, producer John Raven, we were talking about this. 3 days. Like, I think that is the most that you can stay at somebody's house. And Dr. Paul Hockenmeyer, he specializes in marriage and family counseling. He says that's the ideal amount of time for a stay, 3 days and 2 nights.
Mm.
Yeah.
I think that it a lot depends on, number one, where they're staying.
Yeah.
Right. Like if it's your friend that crashes on the couch or, you know, mm-hmm. you know, the layout of your house is so that, you know, you have to share a bathroom or you're crossing each other's paths all the time. That's one thing. And I think, too, like how much you want to be involved in each other's plans also plays a factor. Right. Like, so if you've got casual friends or family coming for a few days and you know that they've got their own life to maintain during that time, then that's less of a problem for you. Right. On the other hand, if you have guests coming that you're like, OK, well, what are we going to do tomorrow?
Right.
Where would everybody like to eat?
Well, there's definitely a tiered system, right? So, like, it depends on who it is. For me, like, if it's immediate family, like, in this case, it's the sister. Immediate family, if they're, like, in need, the stay can be indefinite, and it's still, quote-unquote, cool.
All right,
right?
Hold on, John.
You have to act like it's cool.
Yeah, John, how's the longest that you ever stayed at somebody's house?
Longest I've ever stayed at somebody's... Jeez, I mean, are we talking about, like, vacation? I stayed at my sister's house for, like, a week. She lives in L.A.
Okay, that's too long. Yeah. Stay at somebody's house. Right?
I'd want you to have a hotel like half the week.
I understand, but still, like, there's after a certain amount of time, you're like, please, like, nobody wants other people in their house. It's just a fact.
When you
know?
Say, when you want to be helpful or offer to somebody, you're like, as long as you need, of course, 2 days in, you're like, oh my God, I can't believe I said this.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I can't believe I did. I had a friend stay over last week for just one night, and he's actually invited back because he just relocated to another state. He's invited back to come back over the 4th. And I hope he comes. But on the other hand, like, he's great because he just goes to the basement and then you don't see him. He's like a troll that's living under the house.
Right.
And he just comes out when it's time for me to have a drink or a barbecue.
I've got a friend like that. My buddy Nick will come over. And like back in the day, especially when we were younger and before we got married, like he would come over and he would pass out at my place and we would wake up the next day and he would be gone and the living room would be spotless.
Oh, that's
yeah,
nice.
That's good.
That guy can come whenever he wants.
That guy can hang.
I think it has a lot to do with the bathroom. Too. So if you have a shared bathroom, like in my old house, we only had one full bath, right?
Yeah.
So when people had to come stay with us, we all had to share the one full bath. And it's already tough when it was the 4 of us, let alone when you add more people into the mix.
If you have your own entrance or exit, that's great too. So like we have a guest room, guest bathroom, but it's on the 2nd floor and it's in the back corner of the house. I think if I just offered for my friend to climb in and out of the window,
right,
I'd be even happier.
Absolutely.
Right?
Yeah. That sounds good. When's the last time you went on a blind date? Is there even such a thing as a blind date anymore? Producer John Raven, you know, we were talking about this because if you look up the definition of blind date, it says a social engagement or date with a person one has not previously met. So I would argue every time that you meet somebody on one of these dating apps, right, You've never actually met them in person before, so it is a blind date. Every time you do that, it's a blind date.
I think that's a technicality. I mean, you're seeing them, you see their photo, you read their bio. I mean, granted, they've had time to edit this and make it look the way that they want to make it look. You know, you're still hearing about them.
But that's an interesting note, though. Met, it says. The definition says met instead of seen. And I feel like that's a key word, right? Like, that's the word in the law that changes the letter of the whole law. Is a blind date someone you've never met or someone you've never seen? Because if it's met, then yeah, Anna, you're right. Like, right. any dating app date would count.
It seems to me a blind date would be you walk into a room and you're not sure if that's that person or not.
Right.
You're going in, you're going
right.
in.
Like,
hi, are you
right.
this person? That to me is, that's blind date.
I'll tell you this, though. That has happened to me a couple of times off of dating app dates, though. That will happen. That's the good old catfish where you're talking to the person and you've seen their pictures and then you actually go on the date and you walk into the restaurant and you're like, oh, that's not that person, is it? Oh, God.
Yeah. That's today's version of blind date, is that they actually lied.
It's the same hair color. That's the, no.
Like, no, when you meet somebody on one of the dating apps, John, do you say, like, I'll be wearing a red scarf?
I mean, I would think something like that, right?
Well, you don't, because feasibly you've seen their face before, right?
Yeah.
Unless they're just a complete liar. And then you're just like, oh, gosh, that's not it. That's what you looked like 10 years ago. Like, okay, if they're in their mid-30s, but their picture on the dating app has like a sorority shirt on, you know you're getting kept.
Have you ever gone on a real blind date? What happened? 1-800-330-9999. Haley?
This is an actual blind date. Like, I was in high school, so this was 12 years ago.
Okay.
And my girlfriend had a boyfriend that went to an all-boys school. So, of course, I wanted to be set up with one of her boyfriend's friends. I just knew his name was Mike. Had a photo of him, but like it wasn't like I could stalk him on Instagram. Instagram had just come out. We ended up going on a date. I think we went to get like ice cream, but this was with the other couple. And we just really like just didn't hit it off. It was uncomfortable. Like, he was kind of a jerk, but like I think he thought he was flirting with me. And I just found him like incredibly repulsive and just didn't want to be there. And it was so funny because came to find out that our grandparents were like second cousins.
Oh gosh.
By the end of the night.
Your cousin. Oh.
It was so repulsive, and I was like, honestly, this is probably why I wasn't attracted to you, because my grandmother was watching over me, being like, he's related to you. You cannot be attracted to him.
What is it about somebody that gives you the word repulsive? Is it more attitude or is it actual look? Because I feel like most people, you wouldn't say that about somebody the way they look, right? It's the way they act.
It was his attitude. Yeah. I think he felt like he was too cool for school because he was attractive. He was blonde, blue-eyed, like muscular, like the perfect little football player that a cheerleader would want to date. But his attitude was so repulsive. It was ironic to me because the gentleman that my girlfriend was dating was the complete opposite. He was like shy and humble. And so I figured she'd set me up with someone that was similar to him. But this guy was like, your typical, I'm so macho, like, I'm God's gift to the earth.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
And it just sat the wrong way with me. And I just chalk it up to, like, one of the most uncomfortable but, like, hilarious dates of my life.
Yeah. Well, here's the good news. You didn't marry your cousin.
Yeah.
Right? What do you consider a blind date anymore? Is this somebody you meet on an app or social media? Or because you've seen their picture, it's not a blind date? Like old school blind dates, you've never seen the person and they just show up. It's your first time meeting.
I feel like real blind dates, you had to walk in and be like, hi, and kind of announce yourself to the room.
Or you have to be like, I'll be standing in the corner holding a rose or something like that.
Look for the blue car.
What happened on your blind date? 1-800-330-9999. Michelle.
I actually went on a blind date that was amazing. It was the most crazy thing that's ever happened to me. I worked in a hospital and I worked with this doctor who was a great guy. He was married. I had never met his wife, though, and so I really didn't know her well. But then he was saying to me, why don't we go out? You know, her brother, he's just getting back in the dating scene, you know, see what you think. I'm like, okay. You know, I didn't think that much about it. So they came to my house to pick me up. I still lived at home, and I'm upstairs getting ready, and my mom says, oh, hey, you know, the people are here for your date. So they all came in. It was like kind of weird, and they were all standing in the living room, and I walked down the steps, and I almost passed out. The guy who was her brother was the priest at my church.
Oh, my gosh.
Until,
oh, my gosh.
A year ago.
No.
And
I had gone to confession to this guy. I mean, not that I had bad sins, but, like, come on, really? I had gone to confession, communion, like, the whole thing.
Oh, my gosh, how
like,
awkward.
My mouth must have dropped. I was like, hi, Father Schratt. I didn't know what to say. I was, like, so unbelievably shocked. And they were like, oh, do you know each other? And I said, no. I mean, we don't really know each other. Aren't you the priest at my church? I was like, so, I couldn't believe it. And he said, well, no, you know, I got out of the priesthood, you know, and all this stuff. Does that matter? Can we still go to dinner? I mean, let me just say to you, it was the most awkward thing I have ever done. And I didn't know what to do, so I said, oh, sure.
I love the idea of the priest who's gotten out of the priesthood because, you know, he's ready to rip.
Did you kiss the priest? Did you kiss the priest?
Yeah, I know, right?
Did you kiss the priest?
I did not kiss the priest. All right. I couldn't do it.
All right. Yeah. No, I get it. No, I get it.
I wouldn't be able to.
It was a one and done.
You know, you're already married to God.
I think there's two types of people. Those that get stuck in the date with the priest that are like, I'm kissing this priest. Yeah. And then there's the other ones that's like, I can't do it. Can't do it. There's two types.
Emily, what happened on your blind date?
Oh, my gosh. Oh, I went on this date. He took me to a bar that was like really boring, no music, no band. It was really kind of an awful place. He ended up getting drunk, and then we got in an Uber, and he fell asleep.
Oh, my.
I mean, at first, though, I was like, the guy just wanted to talk to you. He wanted, like, a nice, quiet place.
My first impulse as well.
Then I was like, oh, no.
Then he got drunk.
He got drunk, and he fell asleep in the Uber, and it all went downhill.
Maybe he felt really, really comfortable with you. He's like, finally, I found her. She's the one. That part is settled. Now I'm relaxed.
Take a nap.
Right. Then wakes up, never hears from you again.
Did you wake him up? I just would have gotten out of the Uber silently.
Totally.
Yeah.
Totally. I mean, we're going different places. Take him home.
What happened? Was it ever a second date or was that the end of that?
Oh, no, that was it. That was the end.
Yep.
I would have woken him up with the door slamming. Bonk. See you later.
Dictionary.com says that a blind date is a social engagement or date with a person that you have not previously met. So we don't know if that means if you meet somebody on an app or like a traditional blind date where your cousin sets you up with his best friend or whatever.
I think that if I walk into a room and I'm not sure I'm going to recognize you, that's a blind date.
When was the last time you went on a blind date that you consider to be a blind date? 1-800-330-9999. Ed.
I met my future wife on a totally blind date back in July in 1990, set up by a friend of hers that we worked together. The night comes and she walks into the bar and I was blown away by her. We hit it off really well and we haven't been apart since that day.
Wow.
Isn't that romantic?
Yeah, that's nice. Sometimes the people around you really do know you well if they pay attention.
Like, I always brag that I set up three people in my life that got married.
Are they all still together?
Yes.
That is pretty good.
Yeah.
And I mean, as far as the track record goes.
All of them were blind dates. I was like, I've got a friend. And now it's so funny and it's sad because a lot of my single friends will come to me and I'll be like, I don't have anybody else.
Right.
I used them all.
That's right. The good ones are gone.
Right.
Sorry.
Just give up.
Good story. Three kids.
Oh, but, right. Hey, good for you
guys.
Yeah,
it was good. Good stuff.
30 years later.
Leanne, what happened on your blind date?
I went on a blind date and he had really bad BO. Mm. My best friend, she set me up with her cousin that she's very close with. And as soon as he walked up and like hugged me, I just caught like a very bad whiff. And I didn't want to tell her. I felt bad. I didn't want to hurt his feelings. So I just was like, after the date, you know, I just told her to tell him. I just don't, not looking to like be in a relationship or anything like that.
Yeah.
So it was really bad. And I was just sitting there uncomfortable the whole time.
You know, the BO thing, some people, you know, they don't wear it for different reasons, right? There's some people like, you know, it's like religious or whatever. They're, you know, spiritual, the stuff they're putting on their body or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, they're perfectly well groomed and all that. And for those people, I'm just like, I don't know how you do it. You know what I mean? I don't know how it's working. Other times people are just rank. And if you meet somebody and they're not rank, but you catch a whiff of that, if that's not something you respond to, I guess if it's not primal, if it ain't your proper pheromones, you know, there's going to be no attraction. It's going to be difficult for you to be like, okay, yeah, let's hang out.
Yeah.
And they could have just had a bad day. Or that could be them all the time.
But this is why you should never, ever get set up with anybody's cousin. That's what we're learning right now.
Fucking rule.
Kyle, what happened on your blind date?
I got set up with my roommate's cousin, and she was just awful. Not the best looker, but a personality of like a fish. Just nothing. There's nothing going on. I had to hold the whole conversation the whole time, and I didn't have the heart to tell him because he's my roommate and I love him. But so I ended up telling him that I got back with my ex, and this went on for like a year. He was just baffled that she never came around the place or he never heard anything about her. And I just was like, yeah, everything's cool. She's busy.
Instead of being like, dude, man, your cousin's a little gross. Sorry.
Right.
Sorry. It's just not for me. You don't even have to say that. You can just say it's just not for me. It's funny. The roommate setting you up tells me that the roommate wanted you to move out also.
I mean, maybe that's true, but I just think that it's really difficult to get set up with somebody's relative. Because how do you explain to them that, like, this isn't for me?
Yeah, and it didn't work out.
Right, or for whatever reason. Like you said, like she didn't have a great personality, or maybe you didn't find her attractive. How do you say that to this person's cousin?
Gently or bluntly.
1-800-330-9999. Your definition of a blind date. What is it now, and when was the last time you went on one? What's the story behind it? What's your definition of a blind date? Somebody you meet on an app? Or is it a traditional blind date where you get set up by someone, you've never seen a picture of the person, and you just show up to a bar? 1-800-330-9999. When was the last time you went on what you consider to be a blind date? Sherwin, what happened on your blind date?
Probably the most embarrassing blind date I ever had. It was the blind date where I learned out I'm very allergic to gluten and had a real bad stomach problem right in the middle of the date and spent most of the date in the bathroom, and then my date was gone.
Wait a minute. How do you... Gluten? Haven't you had gluten before that moment?
I had, but I just never thought it was that big a deal. Then I ate a pizza. It was like, oh no, and it ruined any magic there might have happened.
You might have just had a tummy ache.
Norovirus.
Right.
I mean, I would have went back and tried pizza again after that.
My date was no longer there.
Well, I guess, how long were you in the bathroom for? How long do you wait when somebody goes to the bathroom? That's a good question.
Yeah, I'm going to say anything over. So the thing is like at first, you can't believe it's happening, right? Mm-hmm. Let's say you're there, you're at the table. All right, let's set the scene here. This person goes off to the bathroom. At first, you're like, okay, it could be a busy place. You're thinking a line or whatever.
Right.
3 minutes, 4 minutes, 5 minutes, 6 minutes. You're like, okay, now you're kind of looking around. Hopefully it's a busy place, a bar or whatever, so there's distractions. If not, now you're really paying attention. 13 minutes or so, you're worried, right? Now you start to be like, what happened to this person? Then you start to get angry and have questions.
So
what are they doing in the bathroom? Mm. What befell this person? Are they asleep in there? Have they run out on you?
Do you go check on them? Mm. Send the waiter to check on them? Because that's happened, you know, my parents own restaurants.
Yeah.
We've had people ask us to go check on their person.
Because they could have had an emergency.
Right, if there's an emergency.
A medical emergency,
yeah.
Right.
Or do you just assume, like this woman did, you ghosted and she leaves?
Gosh, you know, you don't want to be the person who they found your date dead in the bathroom
and
because
left.
They had a
and
medical
left.
Emergency. And then the person at the restaurant is like, well, it seemed like they were having a nice time. And then, oh, there's the footage. And there you are. You also don't want to be like played the fool, right? So you blaze by the bathroom, right? You breeze right by that area and you see whether or not you can see somebody. Maybe somebody's opening the door. You peer in there. And then maybe you ask the restaurant person, but you say to them, listen, if they're in there, I just want to know that they're alive when
right.
you come out.
Yeah.
And when they come out, you find out they're alive, then you leave.
Sherwin, did you ever reach out afterwards, circling back?
I didn't. I felt so embarrassed about the whole thing that I was like, better to just let this fade away.
Yeah.
Oh.
Also, in case you were wondering, if my kids go to the bathroom without me, like my 14-year-old goes to the bathroom before at a restaurant, she has 6 minutes. If she's not back in 6 minutes, mommy's coming to look for you.
Okay.
That's my rule.
I have one more follow-up question.
Okay.
How many people have your parents found dead in their restaurant bathrooms?
Not dead. God. Knock on wood, thank God. But we've had medical emergencies that were happening in the bathroom.
Oh, my gosh.
That's why in all our bathrooms now, we've got that string.
Oh, yeah.
The emergency string. You can pull the string and it lights up the light outside that something's wrong.
Okay.
And there's a kid without fail once a month.
Every
set
time.
It off. Yep.
Every time he comes in. It's the most fun. I love that bathroom.
Yeah. Why is it trending? Top news stories trending and why? And this has been trending like crazy. Some people are excited about this announcement. Some people are crushed and sad. Here we go.
Ryan Seacrest has yet another job.
The 48-year-old has been tapped to host the game show Wheel of Fortune. He shared the news on Twitter, adding he can't wait to work alongside, quote, the great Vanna White.
All I wanted was to host Wheel of Fortune. I've never wanted anything so much in my life.
I know you did. Listen, you know what? Listen, we were texting on this yesterday, and in the group text, I said it's a layup. You know, listen, Ryan Seacrest, he's a great choice. Of course, he's a professional host. He's hosted everything. Do I think he'll be good in the job? I think he actually will. Do I think he wants the job? I think for some reason, he actually does.
Yeah.
The residuals with the casino backups on Wheel of Fortune are really good, too. They'll pay him forever. But, you know, he's got plenty. It just seems to me like it was a very, very obvious choice. And I don't know if it really pulls people in so much as it just satisfies the people that are fans right now.
First, I was mad.
Yeah.
At first, I was really upset because I was like, he like gets everything. But then I realized
he does get a lot.
It's not being mad at him, because every person that has ever met him, I have not, has told me that he is one of the hardest working, nicest people you'll ever meet.
I mean, he'd have to be hardworking.
Yes.
With all the jobs that he has, he does them pretty well. You can't say that he doesn't.
And then I said to myself, Anna, stop being a hater. Stop being a hater.
Yeah, because it's a little hater. Him.
It is hater. Like, he works hard. He does a great job at his jobs. And if this is what they think and he wants to do, then all the power to him.
Yeah, but you know what? At the same time, like, they could have taken a chance. Like, this was a time when they could do something.
You take a chance with Wheel of Fortune.
I think this is a chance with Wheel of Fortune, because I just don't know if you're 18, 20, 30 that you care about Ryan Seacrest at all. So hopefully he can seamlessly do the game again, but I don't know.
Hold on. Intern Rebecca, how old are you? 21. Do you watch Wheel of Fortune?
Her microphone is off if you're going to talk to her.
Yeah, hold on.
Press that button.
Yell really loud. Do you care about Wheel of Fortune?
No.
Right. I don't think they're going towards Rebecca.
I mean, but still, they're going to want those people at some point, because if not, your demo just dies off. So what can I tell you?
I don't know if Rebecca's ever going to be into Wheel of Fortune, like the rest of us that kind of grew up with it.
I guess.
But this was the thing that really shocked me throughout all these announcements.
According to Puck News, which first reported the story, White has not received a pay increase in 18 years, though she has received some bonuses in that time. She reportedly makes about $3 million a year, while Sajak makes nearly five times that much.
How does she not get an increase in 18 years? That doesn't sound right.
The only thing I could possibly think is that her bonus is rated, you know, like, so maybe she's getting a ton of money in
massive.
The bonus. Right.
Yeah.
Maybe she's getting like a $7 million bonus.
She's got him now. It's the perfect time to be like, I'm getting a raise now. Because you know that they're going to, again, want to hold on to everybody that's ever watched the show.
If anybody's ever wanted to cash in, Vanna White, now is your time to cash in, because they will do anything to keep you for this transition. I am 100% certain of that.
Oh, yeah. And our agents know it, too.
Yeah.
It's on.
The average person has five items that are past their expiration date in their refrigerator right this very second.
I mean, I guess that's not really shocking, right? There's some stuff that you open up, you use it that one time, and then you put it in the fridge, and then you don't use it forever.
I will say, because we just moved, and I cleaned out the fridge when we moved, that I didn't think there would be a single thing in my fridge, and this is what happened when I checked last night.
All right, Dakota, open it up. The most expired thing we have in our fridge. We don't have much in our fridge.
Because it's little.
Is this barbecue sauce. Not so bad. It just expired a few weeks ago.
A few weeks, not terrible.
Steak sauce is one that would usually be expired in my fridge, because I don't use it all the time. It's not like I have A1 every time I use steak. But my wife has become kind of militant about this stuff.
I found when I cleaned out my fridge before I moved, and I'm going to say this wrong, Worcestershire. It was expired.
When you say it over me, I also get screwed up. Yeah. So. Worcestershire.
It was from 2016. 2016. Because how often do you really use that?
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, if you're marinating your own steaks, you would use it quite often. But
also,
you know.
I like that my 4-year-old thinks there's no food in the fridge because it's little, and not because I never go grocery shopping anymore.
I didn't realize that you had a small fridge in this apartment. It's a little one.
It's like a normal size, but she believes it's small compared to the old house. Okay. So, like, I'm just going to go with that.
Yeah.
All right, Raven, we checked your fridge.
Yeah.
I think it's this Gorgonzola cheese right here. Reason being is
I love gorgonzola cheese. I don't know what it's good or bad, though, but it wasn't going to expire until July 28th, supposedly.
So it's still technically good if it's got the expiration date. But I looked at the video, which you can see right now on our Instagram at Anna and Raven, and it does a little bit funky.
It doesn't look good, right? No. I mean, that's the thing about that cheese is, you know, it looks funky when you open it. Mm-hmm. So, you know, when does the funky moment arrive where it's really funky?
Justin's fridge, who's helping produce the show, here's what he found.
I make my own barbecue sauces and as much as I can. I try to make my own. This is Kansas City barbecue sauce from April 8th. I would go out on a limb and say that's easily the oldest.
April 8th.
I mean, how unshocking is it when you look at Justin to think that he makes his own barbecue sauces?
100%. 100%.
Right? Like, it's like, of course he does. Right.
How about intern Mia?
Okay, the oldest thing in my fridge is smooth almond butter. It's just from February of 2022.
Does almond butter expire?
Well, it expired.
It seems like it should have.
A year and 5 months ago.
But what are we holding on to that for?
Using it.
What?
I would think it lasts forever. I don't know.
What, because it's made of almonds?
Yeah. How about intern Rebecca?
I think the oldest thing I would have to say is this bowl of macaroni salad, which I made with my mom about a week and a half ago.
I'll push it.
But I don't think there's anything much older than that, if I'm going to be honest. So I think we're doing pretty good.
All right. Let's play What Would You Rather Eat? Mia's year and a half expired almond butter or Rebecca's 10-day-old pasta salad?
If I don't get to have the almond butter with bread, then I'm going to go with the pasta salad. I'll push the limits on pasta and potato salad.
No,
I know
it's
not
nasty.
Healthy, but I'll do it. I just like it so much. Mm-hmm.
Couples Court on the Anna and Raven Show.
Every day a couple joins us to let us know what their disagreement is about, and then it's up for you to decide who's right. But in this case today, you're not a couple. So Jackie and Christian. Jackie, how long have you guys been divorced?
Hi. We've been divorced about 2 years now.
And you have a 4-year-old daughter, am I correct?
Yes, correct.
So what's going on, Jackie?
So the issue is that even though, yes, we are divorced, my ex-husband, Christian, has a new girlfriend, and she is substantially younger, and they have only been together for about 2 months now. And he is wanting to introduce her to our daughter. He's bringing her around. He's introducing her as the girlfriend. And in my opinion, that's just not okay. It's confusing to our daughter. It's not appropriate. And he seems to disagree.
Christian, what's your side of this?
Well, I think we've been divorced long enough now. What am I supposed to do? Just hide people that I care about away? You know, I've taken to this woman pretty quickly. We like each other a lot. She's around a lot. And if I'm going to see my daughter and her at the same time, sometimes it needs to be all at once.
Yeah. You know, I get that. It's understandable. I mean, listen, I have dated single mothers before. My wife was a single mother when I met her. So my wife and I waited a bit. And I understand, you know, now that I'm a little bit older, waiting when you can. But other times, like you said, I mean, life just doesn't kind of allow. They don't kind of line up those ways. This is a tough one, right? Because, you know, the other thing is, too, Anna, you want to believe in love, right? Oh, you meet somebody and you think that they're wonderful, and of course you're a great judge of character. Nothing could ever go wrong in the future, but obviously you've already learned that lesson.
Christian,
the two of you.
How old are you, Christian?
38.
How old is the new girlfriend?
What does that have to do with it?
Curious.
She's 24.
Okay, I thought so. And how long have you guys been together?
Yeah, around 2 months.
Around 2 months.
A little bit longer.
So Jackie's right.
It's still blurry.
I mean, she's right that it's been a while that they've been dating.
No, she's right that it's been 2 months that they've been dating.
Okay.
I
mean, but the age to me, I mean, what factor is that?
I think it matters to Jackie more than
It matters to Jackie more than it does to somebody who would be a professional or a doctor or whatever.
Jackie, would it make a difference to you if he was dating a woman that was your age that also had children?
That's a really good question.
Yep.
And I think it does factor in. Obviously, I think that longer is better. I would like the relationship to be more established before you bring our young child into the equation. However, having the new girlfriend be so much younger than he is, you know, what are the chances of that working out? And then our daughter could get attached and then she leaves. And then what are we left with? That is my issue.
So many people come in and out of 4-year-olds' lives. I mean, every day. The people that you go to at preschool, the people at elementary school, I mean, they're not sharing a room. I don't know. I take it your girlfriend does not have any kids, Christian?
Right, no kids. She has no kids.
Let's see what the audience has to say. Does your ex-wife have any control about when you introduce a new girlfriend into your child's life?
1-800-330-9999. Whose side are you on? It's the Couples Court with Anna and Raven.
Does your ex have any say on when you introduce somebody new in your life to your child? So what's going on with Christian and Jackie? They've been divorced for 2 years. They have a 4-year-old daughter, and Jackie is very upset that Christian, her ex-husband, has introduced his new 24-year-old girlfriend to their daughter. They've only been dating 2 months.
I mean, let's just look at the actual act here for a minute, right? You think that Christian was like, hey, this is your new mom? Hey, this is your new, you know, whatever? It's not that situation. This is dad's friend blank, you know? Is that really the end of the world?
I don't know. What do you think? 1-800-330-9999. Melissa, whose side are you on?
You know, I have the same situation, and I don't think at any age it's easy to make the decision whether or not to introduce someone or how to introduce someone, but especially at 4-year-old. And I think it's really insensitive, by the way, to say that people come in and out of kids' lives all the time, because that's ridiculous. Yes, they do, but we can, as parents, guide them and protect them a little bit. A 24-year-old stage in life with no kids, we should expect that maybe she wouldn't be wanting to take on the parenting aspect so much. If she was around for like a year and it was looking long term, maybe. But the wife's right. She, you know, has a little bit more ways to go before introducing someone that brief in the relationship to the 4-year-old.
Whose side are you on? 1-800-330-9999. Couples Court. Do you have a say in when your ex starts bringing new people that they're dating around your child? Because Jackie says yes. Her and her ex-husband, Christian, they've been divorced for 2 years. He is dating a woman considerably younger than they are. He's only been dating her for 2 months and now has started bringing them around their 4-year-old daughter.
To me, it's not the age of the girlfriend. It's the lack of time in the relationship. That I understand. You know, if we're doing sleepovers or something like that, that seems like a whole lot.
Christian says, I'm a grown-up. I can make my own decisions. I like her. I want to introduce her to her daughter. Does she have a say and say, nope, no, you don't? 1-800-330-9999. Sherry, whose side are you on?
I am on the wife's side. I was in a very similar situation. It was a 18-year gap difference with mine. And it was about 6 or 7 months into their relationship and I introduced my kids. And she bailed in 9 months. So I think at this point of the game, he's just getting to know her. I think he needs a little more time before we introduce the kids.
Hey, Deb, whose side are you on?
I'm on the mother's side. I'm in the same, well, I've been separated from my daughter's father for about 9 years, and he, after got someone pregnant immediately, 17 years younger, and, you know, that was a different situation, but again, they're not together, younger, and I completely agree, you need to be in an established relationship before you bring your daughter into the mix.
And Maria, what do you think about this?
I'm on his side. Let me tell you, this woman, I'm a female, and this woman thinks that they have control over every relationship they have. After they break up, they have their situations, divorce and all that. And at that, they want their ex-man to be stuck on stupid while they're actually with John, David, and Joseph. Like, seriously. Like, they need to live, too, and have a relationship with, it don't matter if it lasts 300 years or it lasts 3 days. The fact is the daughter don't got anything to do with his personal life. Hmm. I understand he wants to introduce her because he feels more comfortable with her. Well, guess what? That's his personal opinion. He's not going to bring no one around his daughter that's going to harm her. And her being between talking about, oh, she's younger, she's this and that. Listen, I think that's just jealousy. You need to step back, lady, and understand that he has a life, too, and he got to do what he got to do for himself. He's not going to bring anybody that's going to harm his daughter.
The verdict is in. Jury foreman, what are the results?
Jackie, our audience agreed with you. Christian, this seems like to be like a conversation that you guys should have together because you're both parents. So, you know, even though your relationship is over, having discussions like this and coming up with a plan together is just solid parenting.
You know, I guess that's a good point. Things at this age, with someone that age, can happen very quickly. I think things kind of got out of control pretty quickly. Not out of control, but, you know, feelings got overblown. She's young. I'm happy, and I wanted to push things along maybe quicker than they ought to. Maybe I should have reached out to Jackie first.
Jackie, that's got to make you feel pretty good. Things have already transpired, but, you know, your 4-year-old meets a lot of people every day. So I'm sure it's not, you know, the end of the world. She's not calling her auntie or anything.
Or mom.
Right.
No, not yet.
Yeah.
No.
So you got to feel pretty good on that, Jackie.
I do. I appreciate that. And at the end of the day, I just want us all to get along and I want things to be good for our daughter. So it's nice to hear that. And moving forward, hopefully we can take this into the equation.
All right. Great. If you have a problem too, send an email. couplescore@annaandraven.com.
Can't beat Raven.
The Can't Beat Raven cash jackpot is $2,600 thanks to Sherwin-Williams. Ask Sherwin-Williams and save 30% on paints and stains June 30th through July 10th. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Hey, Eric, you ready to play today?
Yes, I am.
All right. I believe in you. I believe that you can do this. Can you please ask Raven to leave the room?
All right, Raven, please leave the room.
You got it. Good luck, man.
All right. Raven's walking out. That door is going to close now. I'm going to ask you 5 pop culture questions. You have 3 seconds to answer each one. I'll bring Raven back into our soundproof studio. Ask him the same questions. Whoever gets the most right wins. Ties go to Raven. You ready, Eric?
Yes.
Number 1, Tiana's Bayou Adventure, the new Disney attraction, debuted a tiara-topped water tower that will be the centerpiece for the ride. Tiana is from what Disney movie?
Princess and the Frog.
Number 2, Margot Robbie is on the cover of Time magazine, and it's all about that Barbie movie. Margot Robbie had to get the rights from the company that makes Barbie to do the movie. What company is that?
Mattel.
Number 3, Ed Sheeran surprised concert goers by opening for his own show after his opening act, Khalid, was in a car accident. Ed's 5 studio albums are named after what?
Math symbols.
Number 4, Taylor Swift told fans at her Minneapolis show not to defend her online against John Mayer ahead of her Speak Now Taylor's Version album release. What 6-minute Taylor Swift song is on that album is reportedly about their relationship?
Dear John.
At number 5, Ryan Seacrest will take over Pat Sajak's hosting duties on Wheel of Fortune. He says that it's a full circle moment for him because he started his career by hosting what other Merv Griffin game show 25 years ago?
American Idol.
Let me bring Raven back in. Oh, gosh, you were doing so good. That last one's hard, though.
Yo.
4 out of 5 for Eric.
Pretty impressive. $2,600. Let's see how I did.
It's going to be close. It's going to come down to number 4, I think. Number 1, Tiana's Bayou Adventure, the new Disney attraction, debuted a tiara-topped water tower that will be the centerpiece for the new ride.
Okay.
Tiana is from what Disney movie?
Princess and the Frog.
Yes. Number 2, Margot Robbie's on the cover of Time magazine, and it's all about that Barbie movie.
Mm.
Margot Robbie had to get rights from what company that makes Barbie to do the movie?
Have to be Mattel.
Mattel is correct. Interestingly enough, when she met with them, like she said, there's going to be good stuff about Barbie and there's going to be bad stuff about Barbie. And they like butted heads a few times when they were making the movie about things that were going to be portrayed in the movie.
Well, protecting the brand is important, but after all, I think we've seen over the last decade that the brand needed to change too.
Number 3, Ed Sheeran surprised concert goers by opening for his own show after his opening act, Khalid, was in a car accident.
Hmm.
Ed's 5 studio albums are named after what?
They're all math symbols.
Yes. Number 4, Taylor Swift told fans at her Minneapolis show not to defend her online against John Mayer ahead of her Speak Now Taylor's Version album release.
I hear they're still coming for him.
What 6-minute Taylor Swift song on the album is reportedly about their relationship?
Dear John.
Okay, I wasn't sure if you were going to know that one. And number 5, Ryan Seacrest will take over Pat Sajak's hosting duties on Wheel of Fortune. He says that it's a full circle moment for him because he started his career by hosting what other Merv Griffin game show 25 years ago?
I'm taking a shot, but I think he said Click.
Click is right.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh, I didn't think you'd know that. He read the news, though, today. It was all over the place. All right, I'm sorry, Eric. 5-4. That's going to get you an Ann on Raven t-shirt.
I'm Eric, and I can't beat Raven.
Better luck next time. Enjoy that shirt, bro. $2,700 tomorrow, Anna.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Your check, your cooperative. As a farmer-owned lender, Farm Credit Mid-America shares the success of the cooperative with our customers, which is why we've returned more than $1.25 billion back to our customer owners over the last 8 years. It's proof being a part of our cooperative pays. Patronage is an annual decision made by the board of directors to return earnings to eligible customers. To learn more about patronage and eligibility, visit fcma.com/patronage.